You're listening to Dom's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, how good's that? Four wins in a row, and most importantly, a big win over the arch enemy Carlton, and to move to 8-5.
Yeah, huge shame, especially, as you say, to get up Carlton. And if there's one game I want to win every year, it's against Carlton. So it was great to see the boys, 40 at the win and got there in the end. It was hard fought, but I tell you what, James, that third quarter was a sight to behold.
Yeah, it was a really scrappy game, the first half. A lot of fumbles, obviously being a bit of a night game. The ball must have been dewy because there was a lot of missed grabs and so forth. But as you said, mate, that third quarter was electric, and it was huge the way that we just put them to the sword. And, we made them helpless. And, that's the one thing we've loved about this is that the effort's always there, but we've got some real class, and it shouldn't be forgotten that like Zach Merritt had been well held in the midfield.
Yeah.
A lot of it came off the back of our young mids. We saw Hobbs and Caldwell. Martin was just destroying him on the wing. Even Sammy Durham had a great game. So many good things to like. Archie Perkins has got a lot of fanfare from the coaches about the way that he played on Cripps, and maybe you and I may have missed that, mate, like the real responsibility.
Yeah.
Cripps was well held, so they must have really rated Archie Perkins' game.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Like you saw any time Cripps got the ball, he was under a bit of pressure, and he obviously didn't like it. He miscued his kicks on quite a number of occasions. Him kick a couple out of bounds on the full, and he certainly wasn't having it easy out there. So, I'm sure it was a team effort, but well done to Archie Perkins for standing up to that. And because he's a bloody unit, Cripps. If he gets his way, he'll get a hold of you. And he didn't allow that to happen. So, well done to Archie Perkins. And as you say, it was a younger brigade in that midfield that really had to get on top, because Ed Curnow, look, love him or hate him, he's a bloody good tagger, Jane, as a lockdown tagger. Didn't allow Zach Merritt to get an easy ball. I think up to half time, Merritt might have had six or seven possessions. And any time he did get the footy, he was like right on the hammer. So, it was, as you say, like Hobbs, Caldwell, Martin. These blokes have taken up a lot of responsibility and really holding their own in there. So it's fantastic to see. In future, it's going to cause some selection problems, because you'd love to reward these blokes with further midfield time. But with the likes of, Parrish, Setterfield, Scheel all coming back, potentially after the break, it's going to be tough times. But these are good dilemmas to have, I guess.
Yeah, and there's one in the wings, mate. I watched a bit of the reserves game on Sunday, and Elijah Sardis, mate, remember that name? He looks a really smart player, and he's got a bit of speed on him, like he's got a bit of toe. But his linking up plays, I can just already see that Brad Scott's going to love having him at full capacity. A lot of chains of handballs and just having the speed to get ahead of the ball carrier and get the receive. So he's another one that we can look forward to, potentially one day adding into that young midfield, which gives us a lot of hope for future efforts. But we live in the now, mate, and been a long time. I think it's since 2019 we've won four in a row, so which is great. And just the way that we've really battled out some of the wins. We're 8-5, and we've had some close wins, yes, but we've also had some close losses. We could have beaten Port. The Jordan Ridley injury was pretty big.
Yeah.
Collingwood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Anzac Day, we're five goals up, best a part of, and, three-quarter time. And, I think the occasion may have got up to us in the end. Against good sides, we've been pretty well. Like, I think Brisbane and Geelong made us look, we were a bit behind them.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we weren't at full capacity. And, you know, you add someone like Peter Wright, mate, we saw last night, what a huge difference he makes to our side.
Yeah.
And just his pure kicking. You know, this guy hadn't played any VFL footy, nothing, just hasn't played since last year. You know, obviously he's been training, but, like, hasn't played at high intensity.
Yeah.
And he just made it look easy, mate. And, yeah, it gives you a lot of excitement, especially when you think, you know, Parrish and Shield are both supposed to come in against Brio in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It wasn't just his kicking. Like, his marking was incredible. Like, you know, those big, strong hands getting up there by height he's able to get to go up for a marking contest, I thought was, yeah, we kind of really missed that previously. So, yeah, it's pretty, I don't know, I've got a loss of words because I honestly didn't think we'd be 8-5 going into the bye, Jam. And you don't want to get ahead of yourself and all the rest of it. But equally, you have to, I suppose, applaud the boys for what they've been able to achieve so far. Look, they're still a young side, still a lot of work to do. Our disposal is still, you know, pretty choppy at times. Our decision-making in terms of, you know, where we're kicking the ball, particularly going inside 50, still needs a lot of work. But the one thing I was really glad with was, you know, when the Blues did start to get on top of us, we were able to slow things down, start that, you know, kick mark, you know, run of play, slow things down a little bit. Mind you, though, I will say that Carlton's kicking, you know, let us out of jail, particularly in that second quarter. They really got on top of us. And had they kicked straight, they really would have caused us problems. And I kind of wonder what things would have been like had they kicked straight, Jay. Like, would we have gone into our shells, as we've seen previously, or would we have fought it out till the end? But, you know, it's a sliding doors moment. You can't, go one way or the other. I'm certainly certainly happy with how things ended in the end.
Yeah. Well, it's great. And, the star in Nick Martin continued to glow, mate, and he it's just hard to believe he was an SSP pick.
Yeah.
Like, he's in line for All Australian, they're saying today, and he's had a fantastic season. It just makes it look easy, and he's just, you know, he's got that extra yard of pace at times. Like, he's deceptively fast, I'd say. Like, he seems to lope, but then he's got that extra gear he can go to, and yeah, he's hard to tackle, and even though he's slight of frame, he's just a really smart footy player with a great boot who can hit up targets.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, really exciting. Well, should we get into the game, mate? Because as we went in, we're trying to make this a bit of a tradition, the King's Birthday Eve game.
Yep.
So it was a good start getting 83,000 into the game, which showed that there was a hunger, and it started with the each side bringing out their 16 premiership cups, mate. And we got a bit of bagging from the outside world for that, because these teams are living in the past. They're living yesterday's glory while we chase the future. You know, a lot of stuff like gets thrown at us, and we're kind of sitting targets for that. So, of course, we're going to cop some criticism, and that came. But all I'd say is, that's fine. Like, we didn't need to do it, but you put your 16 premiership cups around the circle, and I'll come and watch yours.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it, James. we don't like to rely on rest in our laurels and think, oh, yep, sweet, hang up the boots and that's it. We do have to go for the future, but we do need to celebrate the wins as well. And, 30 years, celebration for us for that, 1993 grand final. More than happy to relive those memories, Jam.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously you want to make recent history, because that was the criticism, mate. They said probably more than half the people in the ground have probably never seen any of those premiership cups won. Again, I think that's an overstatement. I don't think half the crowd's over, 30 or 40 years of age. Would you think that?
Yeah, well, no, but look, you know, they can throw mud as much as they like, and that's fine. But as you say, you know, when they can line their 16 caps up, they're welcome to do so.
Yeah. So let's start the game, mate. It was a bit dewy, I think, like from what I could see. And I thought, yeah, it was going to be important for us to set the tone, because we all knew Carlton had copped a lot of criticism during the week. They were under pressure, and we've all seen situations where you play against the side that had their backs against the wall. You know, they can come out and surprise teams.
Yep.
I felt we were ready, but we probably didn't capitalise on our early opportunities.
No, that's it, James. You know, we got up to our 50 pretty early on, and unfortunately weren't able to get it straight. So just the rush behind there. And then Zach Merritt had, you know, a little bit of an open run, but unfortunately he was on his right foot and, wasn't able to put it through, and which was a bit disappointing for mine. You know, he was only, I don't know, maybe 25 out or so. Not much of an angle to speak of, really. Probably had a bit more time than he thought he did. So it was pretty disappointing for him to miss that one. And then we saw up the other end, as is always the way, if you don't make the most of your opportunities, the opposition will. And, Alex Sincotta sunk one up the other end for Carlton.
Yeah, that just opened right up the middle of the ground.
Mm.
And he had pretty much a straight kick where the pretty open goal square, and the ball just went all the way through. So, like as you said, mate, you don't make the most of your opportunities and the other team does.
Mm. Fortunately, though, we straightened up and we saw big Peter Wright get involved in the game, James. Take a nice grab, and it was good enough to go back and kick his first.
Yeah, Cypress saw eyes seeing the number 20 down there, and just knew as soon as he put his foot to the ball, it was going through, and he's just an excellent kick of footy.
Mm. Certainly is, and had another opportunity not too long after to Cole Langford, but unfortunately just the behind on that occasion before we saw Carlton get a bit of a run at it. They had a rush behind, then always had a shot, no good. Charlie Curnow had a couple of shots at it, James, and wasn't able to capitalise. But, luckily for us, Cole Langford had his second shot and kicked it truly.
Yeah, and those shots by Curno, they seemed like a bit desperate as well. They were from long range. They were all or nothing kicks.
Yeah.
And neither of them really had a chance to go through.
Mm.
And it gave me a little bit of a glimpse that maybe Rids was giving him a bit of a headache.
Yeah, and I think also we've seen it with our own forwards, James, like when they got the yips a bit. They go for those all or nothing kicks, because if they miss, well, it doesn't look that bad. It's like, you're pretty far out. And it did seem like both Curno and Mackay were down on confidence, obviously, from their misses in recent weeks. And we saw that again soon after. Curno had another shot at goal and missed again. The mind games were well and truly there. And then we saw Jakey Stringer burst out of the pack, and I don't know if it was an actual shot on goal, this one, Jamie. He sort of banged it on the left and it went through for a behind. I kind of think he was probably trying to spot up Langford towards the pocket there, but just got a bit too much toe on it. But in any case, just the behind on that occasion, and that took us out to the quarter, so up by 5 points, so 2 goals 4-16 to their 1 goal 5-11.
Yeah, so it certainly wasn't a beautiful game of footy to watch, but you could feel the intensity in the game. You could tell almost of its importance, and it was on a knife's edge, really, because both teams wanted the next win, and Carlton desperately needed it.
Mm.
You could see that they were trying everything at the footy.
Yeah, certainly were, James, and they came out, basically breathing fire that second quarter. We saw Jack Martin have a couple of shots at it, missed the first, but he's a good player, Jack Martin, and kicked that that second opportunity. He got a third opportunity not too long after, fortunately missed, as did Charlie Curnow. So he was 0 goals for at that stage, Shane. Then we saw Nick Martin, who'd been a real shining light throughout all of the game. Just his ability to run and carry and hit targets, but unfortunately wasn't able to kick it through the big sticks. Neither was Sam Wiedemann, who got a shot at goal from a really nice setup from Jake Stringer, as we said, Jane. Just sort of bobbed it over the top when everyone thinking he was going to have a shot, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through. But then we saw Harry Mackay get the first of his opportunities, and unfortunately he was able to kick truly.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of pressure on Harry to kick straighter. It did worry me a bit, both their big guys, because, we are a little bit of an undersized back line, especially against big blokes like that. Zerk might have the height, but he doesn't have the strength of a Curnow or even a Mackay. But one thing that Zerk has is he's a bloody good goer, isn't he? He never stops, and even when he's beaten, he does well. But I thought the umpires were starting to blow the whistle way too much. It was hard to get a trend on the game, All going well when we got a quick reply from Will Snelly.
Yeah, and I thought, he's playing quite an important role, James. I mean, not anything flashy, but like those tackles where you needed them, or, if you needed someone to even out a two-on-one, he was getting himself involved and, really fighting it out. So I thought he was playing quite solid for us. And to kick that goal was, reward for effort. For mine. And then not too long after, Jane, we saw Peter Wright get another opportunity and dob it through.
Yeah, he got his second goal, and as I said, it was just so great to see Peter out there. And we've seen the last few weeks Sam Wiedemann's really struggled with the pressure of being the main forward. Kyle Langford's done a brilliant job as a almost like a decoy full forward.
Yep.
But to have an actual legitimate presence in Peter Wright, I just felt like a different Essendon. And even though the scores were tight, I just felt we'd left a fair bit in our kit bag up to half time.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. And I think, it has to be said, that second quarter, it did worry me because, Carlton were getting a lot of shots at goal and just weren't making the most of their opportunities. But for all their dominance in that quarter, James, they kicked 2 goals, 5, which, they would have been pretty disappointed with. Fortunately, we got those 2 goals late, which kept us ahead. So we kicked the 2 goals, 2 for that quarter, just keeping us 2 points up. So 4 goals, 6, 30 to their 3 goals, 10, 28. So we're very fortunate we're kicking straighter. And look, as much as it wasn't the most inspiring game to watch, and certainly I was pretty worried about the way we were going about it. I thought Carlton were really chucking the kitchen sink at us. And in any case, if someone had said to me, "Look, you'll be leading at halftime against Carlton," I'd have taken that. 2 points or no. So no, it was a good start. As we saw in that first half, Zach Merritt was just being really well held. I thought, we needed some blokes to lift. I thought, the likes of Caldwell, Guelphy, they were trying really hard, but just weren't very clean with the footy. A couple of sloppy efforts here and there. And then we saw, something we haven't seen for a while, James. The coach actually chucked the magnets around.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach Merritt started in the forward pocket after halftime. And they elected not to put Ed Curnow on him. So he was, it kind of broke the shackles a bit.
Yep.
And as the game started, the second half of the game started, it wasn't long before Zach Merritt was involved.
That's it. It was a beautiful kick Menzie to Merritt to set him up in the pocket there, and he's good enough to go around and kick it. And
I think it was Snelling.
Snelling, my apologies.
Yeah, it was Snelling. Yeah.
I think I loved about that, James, is as soon as that happened, they went straight up to Curto. How'd you like that, mate? which was great to see. We saw not too long after Jake Stringer have a ping, but wasn't able to get it before Matt Guelfi inserted himself and kicked one.
Yeah, that was from a free kick where, I only know this because where I sit in the AFL members, the Carlton fans were obviously bleeding about free kicks throughout the game, and as I heard. And look, that one was one where he was initially tackled and he fell to ground and the umpire deemed the arms were still around him.
Yeah.
Now, in a tight game where free kicks aren't being paid, you'd let that go. But, for most of the game, it was over-officiated, I thought. So, that's what it was. But, he had the free kick and he did the right thing when he went back and kicked the goal.
Yeah, that's it, Jane. Like, he got the footy out. I do have to say, like, it was in the one motion. Even though it was delayed, like, so he got the handball out and then he got put to ground. So I guess by the letter of the law, it's a free kick, but I don't think it's in the spirit of it, really. But, you don't, sniff your nose at those. So, Guelfi was good enough to go back and kick it. And then soon after, Peter Wright kicked his third.
Amazing. Look, first game back, as I said earlier, with no games underneath him. Beautiful to see him kick his third. And that kick was just I don't know how to describe it other than to say,
in the words of Dennis Committee, James, simply perfect.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it was just that's the way he gets the penetration off his boot when he kicks the ball. It's just like he can easily kick 60 metres.
Mm. Yeah. And then, our patch of dominance continued when we saw Andrew Phillips bob up and kick one.
Yeah. And again, that was another free kick that you probably like to see let go. I don't think any of us want to go to the footy to see those kind of free kicks paid. That was when De Conning had the very briefly.
Pushed him, yeah.
Yeah. Very briefly and without much force, I must say, two hands in the back.
Yeah.
Look, you get why fans get pissed off at that because they're just like saying, how can you be in a contest and not have some kind of contact?
Yeah.
But the fact was there were still two hands in the back, and even though there was no force, the umpire saw the two hands. So, that's what it was paid for. But after last week, and against Richmond also, Andrew Phillips missed those kind of goals. This time he didn't. He went back and kicked a beautiful goal.
He did, James. And then we followed that up with Peter Wright's fourth. And, things were getting pretty hectic.
Yeah. The Carlton fans are losing their minds behind me. It was just a fantastic. It was like the Goodnight Irene, where you just I'm using an old wrestling term, but it was just like we rope-a-doped them, got them into this false sense of security where we're right in this, and we just took it away from them. We were just cutting them up through the midfield, like link-up chains of handballs, and that continued with the next goal.
Certainly did, mate. We saw, John Menzies, who I thought he'd been battling really hard, Jane. Getting a tackle in here and there, pressuring behind the ball. He'd had a couple of missteps when he actually went down defence for a little while to help out, Jane. Had a couple of missed kicks, but he kept going. And this one, ball ended up in his lap, and he was good enough to turn around and snap it.
Yeah, it was one of my favourite plays of the night, only because of how quick the hands were from the centre bounce. Caldwell, Hobbs, and went to Guelfi. Guelfi fumbled, actually, but still had the presence to pick up the ball, handball it out, and then it got to, Jai Menzies, who, he made it look easy, but that's not an easy kick. And he had to get it on his boot quick because, obviously, Carlton were frantic trying to put pressure on.
Yeah.
But as soon as he kicks it, he knows it's a goal and he's celebrating. He's a talented player, but he does work very hard defensively as a forward.
He does, mate. Now, Carlton were in all sorts. They briefly arrested our run. Finally, after four behinds, Charlie Curnow got on the scoreboard with a goal. But not to be outdone, Peter Wright bobbed up and said, "Oh, I'll have another thank you," and kicked his fifth.
Yeah, and that was Mason Redmond. That run was just brilliant. It was, there was three times he got the ball.
Yeah.
First was a little dinky kick that he then ran on and collected the handball receive. And he handballed it out, got the handball receive, and then ran. And it looked like, for all money, I think it was Silvani was going to gobble up the ball, but it went directly over his head into Peter Wright's lap. And, that was just scintillating footy.
Yeah, it certainly was, Jane. Brilliant run. And you heard Mason Ribbon after the game say, "Oh, look, usually with those, I just look at the big sticks, but Peter Wright was just owning that 50, so thought he'd honour the lead." And, it was great to see. Like, first game back and kicked a bag, so you take that any day of the week. Now, Carlton, got one back through Owies, but at the end of that third quarter, we'd really blitzed them. So ended up kicking, 7-1 for that quarter to their 2 goals. So we were 73 to their 5-10. 40. So we're 5.5 goals up, Jane, but I'm sure you, like I and any other Bomber supporter, you never count your chickens before you hatch. So you're always sort of worried about, okay, what are they going to throw at us now? But going to that third quarter, Jane, Carlton, tried their hand up their end, but we're able to extend that lead through Jai Menzies, who kicked his second.
Yeah, and really good reward for Jai, because as we both said, his defensive work was outstanding. So it's always good to see him get a bit of reward. And he's become a really important player for us.
Yeah, certainly has. Now, Carlton, that's when they started really turning the screws. We saw, Sam Draper get subbed out, and I really questioned that move. Massimo D'Ambrosio came in, because I thought, Draper was giving us a fair bit of momentum, Jane, crashing into to Conning in the ruck there, and I thought it was really getting the ball going our way. But as we heard later on through Brad Scott, he'd been playing under a bit of duress, so they thought, "Oh, look, let's give him a bit of extra break going into the bye to hopefully get him right later on in the season." So I guess you could see why they made that call. But at the time, it had me worried. Just given how Carlton were really starting to take control. Like, they had a rush behind, and then Ed Perno had a shot, which he fortunately missed. And then Charlie Curnow got an opportunity and kicked it through. And I had to say, like, as good as I think, Ridley and Zerk Thatcher were, when they got us one-on-one, like the likes of Kernel and Mackay, their hands are just too good, James, to be locked down for too long. So that's the thing that really worried me. Jesse Motlop had a ping. He'd been pretty lively throughout the whole game. Like, he's got a fair bit of pace. And they just kept peppering their 50. And then we saw Sam Wiedemann get a shot at goal, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through. And I'll tell you what, Jamie, he's just playing like a bloke who's just bereft of any sense of confidence, the poor bloke. And you could see, like, our players were trying to get him involved. But he just looked real down on himself.
Yeah, I was watching him pre-game, and it's amazing. I don't think he kicked a goal pre-game. It's like he's lost confidence even kicking for goal. So I hope that's something he can work on, because he could be a really good foil as a second forward option.
Yeah.
Brad Scott keeps talking about him in the after game presses, saying he couldn't be more impressed with the way Kyle Langford and Sam Wiedemann have carried the forward line until Peter Wright came back.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that says it to me. Brad Scott's got a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
And, when you talk about the psychology of it, at Melbourne, he would have been dropped.
Yeah.
probably a couple of games ago.
Mm.
But, you know, it's almost like Brad saying, hey, I'm not going to drop you. You just got to keep working your way through it. You know, I'm not expecting you to kick 4 or 5 goals a week. But, yeah, your job is to, you know, be involved and drag an opponent away from Peter Wright now, you know, or drag an opponent away from Kyle Langford. So, you know, it's bigger than just your scoreboard output.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we need Sam to be an actual legitimate forward threat. And so he needs to find some form, but it looks like we're going to play the long game with him and wait for him to find it.
Yeah. So I think, and where our list is at the moment, Jane, we've got that many injuries to our bigger forwards. That's why he's getting that opportunity. As we'll talk about later, we've got a new bloke in the wings of the VFL who'd be itching for a spot, no doubt. But until such time as he keeps beating that door down, Sam Wedderman's got a spot in the side. So it's good the boys are getting around him, and the coach is giving him that confidence as well. Now, Carlton kept coming. We saw Jack Silvani and Jesse Motlop both have shots at goal, but both, fortunately for us, missed. And then to finish off the game, basically, we saw Jai Caldwell, who worked bloody hard, particularly that second half. Bob up and kick one, I thought, really good reward for effort for him.
Yeah, he'd had a great game, I thought, Jai. And, not everything he does is polished, but you can't tell me he doesn't work hard for the team. And I'm sure Brad Scott loves that about him, how hard he is. He really almost enjoys body contact on the opposition. And he's a bit of a bull. Just the way he throws himself at some of the contests. So again, to see him get a just reward is fantastic. And it wasn't long after that, and the siren went, and we're 8-5, and we knock off the Blues.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic to see, Jane. To get over this mob by 44 points in the end, was just 34 points, my apologies. Got a bit ahead of myself, but
yeah.
So 13 goals, 86 to their 6 goals, 16-52 was fantastic. But look, I tell you what, they talked about it after the game as well. As bad as Carlton were in front of goals, they were probably even worse defensively. Tackles, James, we laid 64 to their 33. And it's not like they had much more of the ball than us. Like the numbers, around the footy are pretty similar. In fact, they had a little bit more of the footy, so 20 more disposals than us. But like to be down 31 tackles, speaks to the lack of aptitude to the contest, which I'm sure Carlton fans wouldn't be super happy about. But on the other side, we were trying bloody hard. Like from our 64 tackles, 19 of those were inside 50. So we're really locking it in there, which is great to see. To walk out 34 point winners against Carlton, always a good time. Well done to the boys.
Yeah, and it's just a real change from last year. I think after 10 rounds last year, mate, we were 2-8. To be 8-5 and go into the bye now, we don't play until Saturday week now. So the players are having 4 days off from the club, and they rock back up next Friday, or this Friday, I should say. And it's time to freshen up, get ready for Fremantle and Fremantle, which will be a tough game as well. But I'm sure the players would rather have their 4 days off on the back of 4 wins and, an enjoyable game last night.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And to be like in the top 6, at the bye is, great work for the boys. So, let's just hope for a great second half of the year to, hope for a bit of finals footy.
Now, you mentioned earlier, mate, we celebrated this week the 30th anniversary of the 1993 Premiership side. And the club put out a great video. I don't know if anyone's got a chance to see it, but on the Essendon website or the Essendon app, you'll be able to see the Baby Bombers. And it's a really fascinating. Yeah, obviously, I was enjoying football back then, right? After it shows my age a bit. I was 18 years old watching those guys go and do an amazing thing of winning the grand final. But, you know, the real story is the week before when we played the Adelaide Crows and beat 7 goals down at halftime. And somehow they came back and led us on the march to a premiership. And, yeah, great times. And, you know, it was really good to see, you know, some of the players back there. Unfortunately, a few of them didn't make it down. Like, we know James Hurd's overseas, so he wasn't there, unfortunately. I think Peter Somerville lives in Queensland, so he wasn't there either. And there's a few others that I noticed, just from the photos, were missing. Mm. Like, I didn't see any photos of Paul Hills. I don't know if you remember the wingman.
Yeah.
The number 11. He wasn't there. There's a few players that weren't there, but the ones that were there, you know, Darren Buick, Mark McCurry, they were great players, and you know, they were inducted as well into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's what they should, Jane. Those blokes just ripper players, and I still remember. I mean, everyone will, but Michael Long just bursting down that wing. So I'm sure, Longy still sends a wave to Steve Silvani. It's great to celebrate the success of that young team. But, let's look forward to the success of our young blokes going forward, Jane.
Yeah, well, just on that, Brad Scott said that our younger team now learned a lot off the guys who did that history. So, basically, sold us. Yeah, nothing's beyond you. There's no such thing as a premiership window.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't get into the trap of thinking, you know, you have to be, you know, right on the cusp, but before you can win a premiership.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, obviously, you know, getting yourself there, and that could come from anywhere on the ladder. It's about finding a way to get there, and you can win it. You don't have to do your penance and then win it.
Yeah.
You just put yourself in position, playing games hard, and you know, there's a chance. And it's fantastic that our guys are getting that first-hand information.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, Brad Scott mentioned that Neil and Terry Danaher came down to the club during the week, and Neil Danaher addressed I'm not sure how it's done, because apparently there's going to be a video on the website and the app this week. Because I was told, I'm not sure, again, I haven't checked my facts on this, but I don't think Neil is speaking particularly well now, is he?
From what you hear, he's the motor neuron disease has got a hold of him, and
Because in the presser, Brad Scott said that Neil Danaher had said these things to the players, like about it's not what life gives you, it's what you get from life, and stuff like that. So it's really deep stuff, but you know, about really don't focus on what you don't have, focus on what you do. And that applied to football as well. It's great that Neil and Terry came down to the club, and all these experiences, like even last night, our guys get to play in front of 83,000.
Mm.
It's one of the great things about playing for our club in particular. Our players this year have been really spoiled for large, big attended games.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not finals yeah, it's not finals time, but they've played in front of finals crowds, and you know, you would hope that that holds them in good stead, you know, having regular access to large crowds.
Yeah.
So no, really good stuff to find out of that. And I guess the other thing we should talk about, mate, is our VFL men's team.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that game up to, you know, till three quarter time. Had to start to get ready to go to the actual main game at MCG. But gee, Jaden Hunter, who I incorrectly told everyone that he's wearing number 32, because I'm sure I saw something official that said that. But yeah, he was wearing the number 49, made famous by James Hurd. And and Matty D, if you remember him, mate. But,
yeah,
so number 49 will be Jaden Hunter's number. And yeah, second week, like he came down, I think, last Thursday, and then played in a game last Sunday, kicked a goal. Then his second game, you know, a week later, he kicked four. And at no stage did we really dominate possession of the footy. You know, it was a tight game for periods of it, but Blues always looked to have our measure. And they pulled away, obviously, in the last quarter. But he really made the most of his opportunities. He's a really nice set shot as well. So, yeah, I could potentially see him playing senior footy in the not-too-distant future, depending on, you know, once he gets settled to Melbourne life.
Yeah, that's really exciting, Jane, for him to take his opportunity like that. Well done to Jaden. Great to see. But as for the VFL side, Jane, like, yeah, as you say, you watched up to three quarter. How'd they fare?
It was, like, a little bit frustrating in that Carlton did have a lot more of the footy. I will say, although the Carlton fans saw or thought Essendon had a good run of the footy with the umpires last night, during the day, Carlton got it all. The umpire in that VFL game, I know I'm biased, but it was like they seemed way out of kilter the way that the Blues were getting freeze. But we were fighting our way through, and, you know, Elijah Sardis, as I've told you, mate, he was, you know, running up and down the wings, and, he looks like a higher IQ kind of player. It's going to link into senior footy pretty well. Like, obviously, he doesn't have senior body on him yet. But, yeah, he's definitely you can see he's at the caliber that could play senior footy, you know, whenever Brad wants to pull the card, which is exciting. And you can certainly see why he was a top five draft pick. Nick Cox played, I think, his third game back. And, yeah, he was a little bit disappointing, I thought. They tried to play him on ball at times, but he just found a bit of trouble finding the footy, I think. And, he's had a long injury the last couple of years, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
So he's still finding his way in, but I don't think I don't think he'd be in line for selection for some time. I think he needs a bit of grounding in the senior footy. But, you know, with his height, you know, he could be a fantastic wingman or halfback flanker because, you know, 200 centimetres, and you can run well. But we just might have to be a bit more patient on his return.
Yeah.
Kane Baldwin was really good, I thought. He took a lot of good marks. And, I think Kane is a little bit unlucky. He had that one game and he performed quite well, I thought. But
yeah, two games, yeah, I thought he did well.
Yeah. But I just think that, he's another one that's just waiting in the wings to get some more opportunity. Tipper looked good at times. He's still, you know, the fitness is a question, but he's still got that class. And he did a couple of great things in that game where he, you know, put on, you know, pressure. But there's one play out of the center, he just kind of Yeah, won a ball in contest, turned around and just hit up his leading player. So he's still got that class above.
Mm.
We had a few players out that dropped out late in the game that were named in the side. Like Rhett Montgomery didn't play. Jake Kelly didn't play. I think they were held over. Or I think Scooter said someone was sick. Mm-hmm. So, we were a few down from the side that was read out on Thursday night. Obviously, Andrew Phillips went on to play in the seniors. And, and there was a bit of a buzz going into the game. I heard rumours that there was going to be Stringer, Redmond and McGrath all out of the side. So, I think I rang you, mate, and I said, I'm driving. Can you, you hit me up if you hear anything? Because, that wasn't the greatest news going to the game, but fortunately that wasn't true. And Tex Wanganeen was held over. I think I saw him in the rooms. He must have been held over as a backup if a player didn't get up. Mm-hmm. So Tex is getting closer to senior selection, which is good. I saw Alwyn Davey playing the twos. He did a couple of nice things. Doesn't get a lot of the footy yet, but, they tried him a little bit on ball, a little bit on the wings and the half back, and a little bit on the flank. So they're really throwing him around, trying to get him involved.
Yeah,
Anthony Moncaro didn't play, so I think he's missed the last few games. So hopefully he's not a bad injury there. Just a conditioning thing, but didn't see him play. But any other player that you wanted to ask about?
I'm just looking at the stat sheet. Looks like Nick Bryan had quite a good game. What do you reckon?
I thought he was our best player. He's desperately unlucky not to play more senior footy.
Yeah,
because he is he's at that level. His marking is so strong, and he uses the ball well for a big guy. I just think it's, obviously Brad likes the frame of Phillips as opposed to Bryan, because certainly on skill you would have Nick Bryan. But, I think it's the frame of Phillips that is enticing Brad's got to give him more senior opportunity, that physicality. So Nick Bryan, it would be really sad if he's not retained by us, because I just think he's going to come good at one stage and become a really important player to our side if he can be patient enough to wait for his name to be called up. Because a little bit of mixed messaging during the week, mate, and of course with rumours of clubs being interested in others, we were linked to Tom DeConning during the week. And I think it was John Ralph, so I don't know how far you'd hold on to that, but he said that Essendon had offered a 7-year deal to Tom DeConning. So when you think his main role is basically ruck, I guess he could play, he could learn to play a key position, but... he's obviously very athletic. But I think if you're throwing your money into someone like Tom DeConning and you've got a Nick Cox and Zach Reed and you're waiting in the wings, if I'm Nick Bryan, I'm probably not too keen to learn of that. I'd certainly question, my value when you're chasing players that are playing at a certain skill set that matches your own.
Mm-hmm.
So, that'll be interesting. But, the VFL boys have had to do it pretty tough. I don't think they've won for a number of weeks, mate. I can't remember their last win. I don't know if you have that information in front of you.
No, at the moment I have a Swiss, though.
Yeah, have a look, because I don't know.
Yeah, we're 18th, James,
I think it must be almost 8 games without a win. Obviously, I keep a close eye on the way the team's going, and where I can, I try and watch the game. But unfortunately, the games this year, they've all been played either when I'm driving to the football or, corresponding with being at the football. So the end of games are very close to the start of the new one. So
It looks like last eight rounds, all losses.
It's not the be all or end all to be winning games in the VFL, but I think it helps your players who are developing to have that feeling of being in a side that potentially play finals and we used to see our Essendon VFL side be quite strong, mate. There was a number of years we went on and played key role in the finals.
Yeah.
And so it'd be nice to see eventually us get a depth that would put us in a position to give our younger players who aren't in the senior side opportunities to feel the sense of winning, and I think that would be good. But this year's obviously been tough. We've had a number of injuries, it must be said. Mm. But obviously it's cut into our BFL program. But it's always hard going when you lose eight in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mate, should we have a break? I don't think the VFL women play.
Yeah, no, I got that wrong last week. I was reading the report on the website, and I read it wrong. So my apologies for that. So they played Casey this Saturday, not the Saturday just gone.
Yep.
So the girls are sitting on sixth, which is just in. Yeah, as you say, like those top six go through to the finals. So sitting, 6-4 with one draw at the moment. Let's hope for a big second half of the year with the VFLW.
Great. Well, let's have a break and we'll come back with By the Numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast as we go by the numbers. And as we start, mate, with Andy McGrath.
Yeah, interesting game, Andy McGrath. He was actually sporting a bit of a shiner, James, and I wonder whether he might have been the one that was under the weather a bit. But I thought he played quite a solid role for us in the game. Actually laid the five tackles, which was good to see. Had the 21 disposals, so our back certainly saw enough of the footy with Carlton continuing to pressure all game. Had the eight intercept possessions. It actually went pretty good, by foot and hand, going at a bit over 95% disposal efficiency. So I thought he had quite a solid game.
Yeah, he was good. He wasn't prolific in terms of, dominating possession or anything like that. But he was always, he's got this way of finding the footy when he needs to. Like he really is quite smart, especially in that back role. And even though sometimes we might bemoan some of his kicking, mate. I thought, he just did a serviceable role without, being. Yeah, brilliant. Having said that, with 21 disposals and five tackles, it's a good game, but maybe says a lot more about Andy to us that it doesn't say that he was brilliant, but very serviceable game. And he must be loving footy back there, not having to be thrown all around the board like he used to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam Draper, we know he got subbed down. Look, he didn't have a lot of the footy, Sam, but he did a lot of stuff in the clearances, I thought. And you just see how strong he is against someone like Tom DeConning, who's got all the he's got the aerobics to aerobically can jump all over Sam Draper. But what he didn't have is the physicality, and you could see that worried DeConning at times. So just the seven disposal yeah, I think that kind of understates his presence in the game.
Yeah.
And certainly got us forward on a number of times out of the centre bounce.
He did, mate. And you saw a number of occasions, whether it was just like him getting a fist into the footy or, laying a bump here and there. Like, he really got into the Collingwood players when he had the opportunity, like, to lay his body around. So, like, that was fantastic to see. There was a couple of times where he really tried to take the game by the scruff of the neck, like, try to win out of the clearance and just throw a boot on it. And look, it doesn't always come off, but, yeah, you know, he's trying his, yeah, busting a gut to, yeah, try and get things happening our way. And I thought he actually played quite a solid role for us. Like, he's, as you say, James, his influence on the game was far more than what you see on the stat sheet. So while not an outstanding game, I still thought he played pretty solid for us.
Cole Langford, yeah, he's one player that he's been brilliant for us all year.
Mm.
He kicked a goal early, which he tends to do. But for large periods, I didn't notice him as much as I usually do. But then I looked at the stat sheet. He had 8 tackles, which obviously was a team high. And that just goes to show that he was doing a lot of defensive work. And he's just a real key player to us. But he wasn't as brilliant as he has been in terms of, you know, kicking goals and so forth. But nonetheless, he's done a great role for the team.
Yeah, as you say, Joe, like that 8 tackles surprised me. I didn't think he was that much involved defensively. But I mean, obviously he was, which is great to see. I didn't think he's I just didn't see him around the ground as present as we often see in games, like with his marking ability. Like, he only took 3 marks in the night. Yeah, whereas, you know, usually we might see him go up the ground a bit to win a bit more of the footy. But with the likes of, you know, Caldwell, you know, Martin and Co, you know, Hobbs obviously as well, he didn't need to shoulder that load. So I thought, look, he played his role, not outstanding, but I think still solid.
Jai Caldwell, he made another big leap in as his career is progressing really well. Mm. You know, with the loss of Parrish, Shield and Setterfield, we needed people to stand up, and Jai really has been one of the key players to do that. He had 25 disposals, 10 kicks, 15 handballs, 6 tackles, and he kicked the final goal of the game. So a really good game from Jai. And, you know, we know he had some injury issues when he first came to the club.
Mm.
It's great to see him getting some continuity with his footy, and yeah, he's becoming a real bull. And we shouldn't forget he's only 22 years of age, mate, so he's got a big future.
Certainly does, James. And as you say, like, he got a bit of opportunity due to those injuries, and actually had the 4 clearances, which is great to see. And not only did he kick a goal himself, but he spotted up a couple of blokes for a 2-goal assist, which is great. Now, look, in that first half, and I think this is the thing about, you know, watch the game from home, James. Like, you don't necessarily see how much he's running or presenting, or like how much he's offering in terms of output for the game. Because I thought his first half was fairly quiet. But that second half, he really, just went a level above, which is great to see. His work in those link-up plays, like, you saw him time and time again, like that one with Mason Redman, like it was Jai Caldwell. He was getting the footy out, which is great. Like, he's, he just plays everywhere, James. You just saw him ever present. And I think, before he was doing his in and under stuff, you wouldn't necessarily see all the time, but now you're seeing it a bit more. Like, he had 7 score involvements in the game, which is great. 8 contested possessions, so he works bloody hard for it. And, I think, as you say, James, he's growing beautifully. So I thought it was a really good game, Jai Caldwell.
Yeah, just a physical player, which is, what you want out of your midfielders. You know, there's time when you have to stand up, and you just have some faith he will do that for you. Zach Merritt, we know he had a tough half, but as Brad Scott said in his presser, he was probably leading everyone in defensive acts. Mm. Now, he's had 18 disposals in the end, 13 kicks, 5 handballs, which is down on his normal output.
Mm.
But he still had the 6 tackles. He's kicked a goal. And he was ranked, I don't know how much you hold on these fantasy points, mate, but he's ranked the 5th highest in the game from 18 disposals. So that just goes to show how important he is. And more of his leadership ability now is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
The the guys really play for him. So he's really created that. And yeah, look, unfortunately, there has been a video released, mate, where he's might be in trouble with the MRO for another one of those tackles. Got people telling me he'll definitely miss a week. I'm hoping that's wrong, because it wasn't a traditional sling. But now it's as soon as the player hits the ground and you've got hold of him, you're in trouble. And yeah, it's somewhat changing the game. And I know concussion's really important, but at some point it's going to turn into a tag where if you get tagged, you have to stop. And I really hope it doesn't get to that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I don't know. Like, things happen in footy. It's a contact sport, James. So I'm not sure how much you're able to, totally remove stuff, particularly with tackles. And I think that's the look. As much as I do obviously understand, concussions are a really serious thing, can affect people's life like forever. It's like well beyond football. Mm-hmm. But like, it's such a big part of our game. And I think to remove that would be, to remove part of the spirit of the game, Jam. Which is sad to see, because it's like, certainly for the likes of Zach Merritt, like, there's no malice in anything he's done. It's just, I suppose, luck of the draw. And you kind of see, there was other tackles throughout the night, both Carlton and Essendon, where, like, it's a slinging motion, whether they called a sling tackle or not. They weren't called. So I kind of feel like there might be a bit of tall poppy syndrome around Zach Merritt. As soon as there might be any inkling, better get on top of that. I'm hoping it's Storm and a teacup because I thought he played quite a good role. Look, yep, he was well held by Ed Curino. But that third quarter, he really got let off the leash a bit. Had the one goal himself, and as well as kicking a couple of beautiful goal assists. So, two goal assists to his name as well as the defensive efforts, as you say. Like, their six tackles were brilliant. So, look, I thought he played quite a good role for us. Zach Merritt, a selfless role. And, it's great to see how he's wearing the captaincy.
Yeah, now with Zach Merritt, having a being taken out of the centre bounces, Ben Hobbs was given even more time. So we know he's been in there anyway, but like, he's given even more time, and he grew again, mate. He had 24 disposals, 15 kicks, 9 handballs, 5 marks and 3 tackles, and he's tenacious as ever. Just a great, developing player that looks like he's going to be, what I say, mate, is I see this guy being a future captain one day. I know it's a big call, but just his traits, there's something about him that says that he potentially could be a captain one day.
Yeah, I'll second that, James. I think he's just such a hard nut around the footy, like, doesn't mind wearing contact. And there was one in particular against Adam Saad. Look, I do think Ben Hobbs, yucked his head a bit, but at the end of the day, Adam Saad did get him high. It was pretty tough in the end, but he got up and took his kick and kept going into the next contest. So it's that kind of stuff you really love. And, his ability to present all around the ground, he's making fairly good options. Like, his kicking's not amazing, but he's making fairly efficient use of the footy. Like, it went at 87.5% on the night. Had the 7 contested, 8 score involvements. I thought he was, he played, a really good role for us. As you say, stepped up into those centre bounces. Really growing as a player. And, can't wait to see the player this bloke can be in the future.
And I'm going to be interested when Parrish, Shield and Setterfield are back, what that does, how are those guys going to be used? Because I can't see them all just pushing aside Caldwell and Hobbs, even on seniority. They may have to learn to play some different roles at times to give these guys continuing efforts or opportunities in the midfield. It's going to be interesting when that conundrum comes up. Sam Wiedemann, again, his kicking for goal has been, you know, poor, we have to say. And certainly seems there's some mental demons there, you know, in terms of connecting his you know, kicks with the, you know, going towards goal. But he actually worked pretty hard during the game. He had 14 disposals, which might surprise a few. He had 5 kicks, 9 handballs, and 5 marks. So he certainly wasn't like a ghost that you didn't see him, but he just didn't have the scoreboard impact. But, yeah, he's certainly working hard and obviously was dragging players up the field because he was playing more towards centre forward.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing, James. Like, as much as he, yeah, couldn't put him through the big sticks, he was still working. And I think, yeah, that's a positive sign. It's encouraging. And that's something that Brad Scott can go, yeah, look, you know, he didn't work out for you in the night, but look what else he did. You know, took the 5 marks and, you know, played a role for us. So,
gave Peter Wright space by doing, well, you know, leading up.
Yeah, that's the thing. So he still played a role for us. So, look, I don't think it was a complete catastrophe of a game. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, overall on output, you'd have to say fairly average. But yeah, still something there to work with. So, as I say, James, let's hope he can work through these demons. And, really make the most of this potential new start to his career.
Will Snelling, he's not flashy, but he works hard. And he had the 14 disposals, 7 kicks, 7 handballs, 4 marks, but 6 tackles. And again, you need this kind of output to put pressure on teams and, you know, to have players like Will to do that, the hard yards. And he still makes smart decisions. You know, although without not having the ball a lot, he's still able to you know, set up plays and so forth. So I think he's a, you know, he's a good player to have in your side. Whether he can hold on once, you know, again, when Parrish, Shiel and Setterfield come in, you know, that's what he's trying each week to, you know, to make himself as valued as possible. But yeah, you know, those kind of stats showing you that, like, the 6 tackles and, you know, being up and about is certainly giving him an opportunity.
Yeah, it is, mate. Well, I actually rated his game, Jame. I thought he was pretty important for us. And, particularly with Shiel out, like, you need someone to win that hard ball at the contest at times. And I think, you know, around the ground, Will Snelling's, shown his ability to do that. Look, had the 6 tackles, so, you know, worked hard defensively and had the 6 contested possessions. So I think, yeah, played an important role for us. Had the 5 intercept possessions as well as 5 score involvements. So, I think played a solid role for us in the end.
Yeah. Jordan Ridley looked great. Played on Charlie Curnow, which I didn't see coming, mate. I didn't think that would be the opponent he'd have. But he did it with aplomb and really made Curnow look nervous because one thing Jordan Ridley will do is read the ball well and take strong marks. And, yeah, had 8 marks on the night, still had 20 disposals. Now, a lot of them are kickouts and so forth, but still 17 kicks, 3 handballs. So that tells you how many times he's kicking the ball, and he's gone at 100% efficiency. So, he's just a super player. Really love the way Jordan plays his footy and such an important player for us.
Yeah, he's Jame. And look, you saw a comment during the week from Jordan Ridley to say, oh, look, you know, I'm really loving the way Brad Scott goes about it. Look, I've been, you know, crying out for, you know, some clear direction. So I'm really glad to have that. And you kind of think, you know, from our previous coaches, like, just how sort of damning that is. Yep. I mean, look, and obviously, yeah, none of the players or anyone wants to tip on track or worse fault, but like as good as their footy brains might have been, they weren't able to communicate a clear message, and our players seem to be really thriving on it, Jordan Ridley included, because we saw last year he just looked a shadow of himself, didn't he, Jane?
Yeah.
Whereas this year he's playing with such confidence, like he's back to the Ridley we know and love. So he played another really important game for us, on a bigger body in Curnow. Yes, Curnow got quite a number of opportunities at goals, but I think, you know, Ridley was really making them accountable. Had 7 intercept possessions, 4 contested, even had the 3 score involvements. And as you say, when you use the ball as beautifully as he does, it really makes a difference to work it out in defence and set us up down the ground. So I thought another really good game from Jordan Ridley.
It was game number 100 for Jaden Laverty. So he had 12 disposals, 8 kicks, 4 handballs, 5 marks and 2 tackles. He is really important player for us down back. And, you know, it's great to see the synergy, the key back. Yeah, those back 6 really work well together and we're really starting to form a pack down there.
It's brilliant. Like the thing you love about Laverty is, yes, he gives up, centimetres and all the rest of it, but he doesn't lack the competitiveness, spirit, and some good old footy smarts, James. Like the number of times where Jaden Laverty left his man to just beeline the footy and either take the mark or get a fist in to get it out of our back 50. I thought he played a really good role. Like took the 5 marks, but again, like his impact of the game is worth far more than the stats on the paper. 5 intercept possessions there, and he's another one that went at 100%. So, some really good use of the ball from Lav. I thought he played quite a solid game for us.
Archie Perkins got a bit more midfield time as well. As we heard from Brad Scott, he was assigned to Patrick Cripps, and Brad Scott again spoke about how strong Archie Perkins is. He's a hard player to bring to ground. And he said he's this strong now at this age. He's just going to keep getting stronger and stronger. And, you can almost sense the excitement in Brad Scott's voice as he talked about Archie, in that he must feel like he's going to be some player once he gets to full capacity. But, he had 18 disposals, 8 kicks, 10 handballs, 2 marks and 5 tackles, which is, again, great to see. That workmanlike effort of applying pressure is really flowing throughout the side.
Absolutely, is James, which is brilliant. I think it was really workmanlike Archie's game. Like I don't think he was sort of flashy or anything like that. Did what he had to, and against Cripps, to not only sort of limit his influence, but to actually have 18 possessions himself and get it going our way. And as we know, like he generally makes quite good use of the footy when he does have it. Had the 4 score involvements, it's 3 contested possessions to go with the clearance. So a little bit of work in the centre there. And again, like you see him stand up in tackles and he's not blowing anything out of the park, but he's just playing a solid role week in, week out. And every game we get into him, Jane, is another game of experience that, he's continues to tally up. Can't wait till he builds into the player he will be in the future.
Nick Hind found plenty of the footy, mate. 21 disposals and 19 of those were kicks. So he used the ball a lot by foot. He had the 6 marks, 4 tackles. He has some brain fades at times. Sometimes his decision-making can be questionable, but I think he's become a really important player with that leg speed. For the time being, he's holding on to that halfback flank.
He is, Jam. I think defensively he's improved out of sight from where he was last year. He's a lot more accountable, and I think Brad Scott's really drilled that into him. He's like, you won't be playing if you're not going to be accountable to your man. And I think, Nick Hines pretty keen to stay in the AFL, Jane. So he's really taken that on board. I don't think he played amazing, but I do think he played quite a solid game for us. Used that leg speed to good use, particularly when, Carlton had a bit of a run on and, we needed someone with that closing speed to make an impact where they can. There was one where Nick Hines left his man. It was late to the contest, that one from Owies, I think it was. Owies sort of came down feeling the worst for wear after it. And I liked it because, look, he was late, but he made Owies earn it. He's like, you know, you got to take that mark, but you're not going to feel great about it after.
Yeah.
And particularly when Carlton were getting a bit of a run on, you think those sorts of little things are really important, because if they think they can just take marks uncontested in their forward 50, that becomes a bit of a challenge to overcome in itself. So I think, you know, Nick Hind is playing his role. That's kind of all you can ask of him. And at the end of the day, look, after the bye, he might get blokes like Kelly come back. There'll be plenty of competition for spots. All Nick Hind can do is, you know, look after what he can on the park. And I think he played a solid game. So, look, if his name's up on the selection table against a Kelly or whatever, it's another good challenge for us to have with that selection pressure. And, certainly he's done his chances no harm.
Yeah, for sure. Peter Wright, we welcomed him back. Kicked the 5 goals on return, 8 disposals, 8 kicks, 7 marks, 1 tackle, and he's just a I don't think we can underestimate how much we lost on the eve of the round 1 game. So it's a real, it's like a a real hidden card. If you're playing cards, mate, it's like getting the ace card. When you get someone like Peter Wright in, and it's fantastic to see him return and have that output firstly, but secondly just how it straightened us up. And I thought early there's a couple of marks he could have clunked. I reckon his hands are going to get better, and our crummers will get better to read from him. And that in turn, if we get too centric, going towards him, we'll create opportunities for the likes of Langford and Wiedemann and so forth. So, I really think it can really change the dynamic of our forward line.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Came in and played brilliant. 8 disposals, 8 kicks, 5 goals. So you'd always be happy with that as a forward. Take the 7 marks, I thought, was really big for us, Jane. To have the big bloke back, kicking straight, it just shows, as you say, how much we missed having him out there. So it was great to see him back, and nice to kick a bag on return.
Dyson Heppel, we've got to take our hat off to him, mate. I thought early in the year, there's a number of games where it just looked like the game had passed him.
Yep.
His disposal was shocking around that time, and that may have been, on the back of some low confidence. But my word, has he really stepped up, and he's become real valuable. And there was a time where I thought the halfback line had passed him. I thought he was too slow to play down there. But he's throwing his body out there. He's taking marks. He's playing within his limitations. And he's not costing us anything with his he's not going to be an elite disposer of the footy, but he just makes the right decision. And he's just been a real important player for us this last patch of games. And fantastic that he's been able to bounce back, because the last thing anyone wanted to see was Dyson Heppel, being, played in the twos or anything like that. So it's really good to see that he's, really almost reinvigorated his career on the back of, what was a pretty tumultuous start.
Yeah, it was, mate. I thought on the night he played quite a good game. Really solid for us down back. Like, taking those 8 marks was great to see. Had the 5 intercept possessions, 6 contested, and went at 95% efficiency. So used it well. And I think, he's smart around the footy. Like, he hasn't lost that. So even though his toe, he's never been quick, James, but I think his smarts around the footy really showed that he's still got that to his bow. Like, he got a couple of important fists on every now and then. Like, there was one in that last quarter, Jane, where he just got across and punched it out of bounds. When Carlton were really threatening down there. So Look, at the in the fourth quarter to still be able to make efforts like that, I think was really good to see. So yeah, I think he played quite a solid game in the end. And no, hats off to him for turning his season around. He's made a lot of us look quite silly, Jane.
Yeah, Sam Durham, great to see. I thought he played a really good game too on the wing. He's not generating huge disposals, 17 disposals, 9 kicks, the 8 handballs, 6 marks. And that marking is really important. He took a really nice hanging mark there, mate, and had 4 tackles. And, so he's an important player for us, Sam, and, he really owned his wing.
He did, mate. And again, like he goes at this sort of like breakneck kind of pace, Jane. Like he just throws his body at everything. Like made the 4 tackles, which is great to see because, that's an area of the game that, he's been challenged on. Taking his marks, so the 6 marks there, 4 score involvements, 3 intercept possessions, and 7 contested possessions. And I thought there were quite a number of times, Jane, where he sort of beelined the footy and like not necessarily got on the stat sheet, but like he got a fist in or tapped it along, to the next player along the line. Just that real positive momentum, which the team must absolutely love having him out there because he's not going to die wondering. I think without starring, I thought he played quite a solid game for us.
Jake Stringer, without doing what we used to see, mate, was just, it was all or nothing with Jake. You'd either kick 4 or 5 or, be largely unsighted at times. He's really become a workman-like player, hasn't he? And, he had the 18 disposals, but really important in out of the midfield, I thought, especially early.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 kicks, 8 handballs. He had 3 marks and 2 tackles. He only kicked the 2 behind, so he certainly didn't get a goal, but... And like his efficiency, with the footy wasn't great, only 61%. But I think with Jake, it's more like just his strength and his will to chase. And it probably doesn't show with him just having the 2 tackles, but he runs hard to try and tackle players now. It's like he's rewarded internally for that, and that's what he's chasing. And it's great to see Jake adding a different part to his game.
Yeah, it was, James. I actually thought he played quite a good game for us in the end. Like, he didn't kick the goals that we'd love for him to kick, but like he's chasing and tackling. Look, he's only listed as having the 2, but like there were quite a number of really strong defensive efforts from Jake, which were really commendable. And it's not only that, like he really went at players, like he bowled them over. Look, it's not listed as a tackle or anything like that, but I'm sure quite a number of Carlton bodies were feeling the effects of a Jake Stringer, shaped hole through him. He let them know he was out there for sure, and then when he did get the footy, he really made use of it. Look, he only went at a bit over 60% disposal efficiency, but had the 8 score involvements, Jane, and of his possessions, 11 of those were contested. So he really worked hard for it and had a number of clearances as well. I think the 6 clearances and 400 metres gained just about. I think that was a really good game from Jack Stringer. He's much more team-oriented, and we've seen this consistently for the last at least 3 or 4 weeks, Jane, where he's playing much more of a team-based role, not being that centre man of attention on it. I think, for the likes of Jake Stringer, he's probably enjoying this a lot more than, look, it's great to keep 5, but if you keep losing, you're not going to feel too great after the game. Whereas, if you kick 0 and your team's winning and you've played a role in that, I think that must be, really important for him. And, I thought he played quite a solid role for us.
Mason Redmond continued his good season, 23 disposals, 15 kicks, 8 handballs, 8 marks, 1 tackle, and that chain of play, I won't forget that for a while, that run where he ran through and hit up Peter Wright on the back of 3, give and goes, basically. It was just brilliant, and he's just such an important player for us now, and please, Mason, sign, find a pen, signed during this break to give us something to cheer for.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I thought another good game from Mason Redmond. And look, his run can be electric, but just the way he stands up, when the other team are coming for us, I think it's really important. Like, to take the 8 marks in the day, and 4 intercept possessions was really good. Used the ball well, so went a bit over 95% efficiency. And the 4 contested possessions, I think, again, just played a really solid game for us, where, again, like, his output and worth the team is more than the stats show. Like, whether it was releasing players in better positions with his good field kicking, the running carry he's able to get, from that back line going up the wing and, into the forward line there was really good. So, another really good game from Mason Redmond. And I tell you what, like, he shows enough love to the boys, James, so I don't think he's out of love for the club. I'm hoping it's just fattening out that contract for this year. But as you say, pay the man and, let's get him signed up.
Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, again, he works hard. Like, the umpires were hot on him, mate. They were giving away a few free kicks and, they're probably there at times. But, he marks the ball well. There's a number of fists that were really important when the ball was coming in. So, again, you don't look at Brandon's stats and go, oh, what wonderful stats they are, but his impact on the team is really important.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think, Mackay is a big player, and he's got good hands on him, despite his kicking woes currently. He's a bloody good player. I think, as much as Zirk-Thatcher got out body there, I think he still, worked bloody hard and made Mackay earn each of those kicks. Had the 7 marks himself, Zirk, and 10 disposals in the end. But particularly towards the end of the game, as you say, he's getting those fists in, but also he stands up for the big moments. He doesn't mind wearing the body to collect the footy himself, like whether it's taking a mark down back or getting up that release sort of handball out to a bloke in a better position. Actually had a 6 intercept possessions in the end and used the ball fairly well. So went at 90% there, James. So I thought, played a solid game without being outstanding. And, just in, James, this will bring a smile to your face. There is no case to answer for Zach Merritt.
Beautiful. So, excellent to hear.
Yeah, which is good, but I think another good game from Zirk-Thatcher.
Well, that's great news, mate. I forgot about who you were talking about then, but that my focus went straight to that, and great to hear that Zach can play against Freo. Andrew Phillips, again, you never looked at his stats to wonder about his presence, but I think with him, he's workmanlike, isn't he? And he kicked a goal on the back of that free kick that he got about 35, 40 metres out. Basically just, relieved Draper when he needed a break. And, Phillips is his physicality certainly is something that Brad must like.
Yeah, and I think he did show that at times. I still didn't think he played a great game. I think he was okay at times, but look, there were a number of times he flew up for a mark, which was good, but only took the 1 at the end of the night. So we really need more from him in terms of that marking power, particularly when Carlton were really limiting our options and we had to sort of kick long to contest. Again and again, it was Andrew Phillips who flew, and fortunately we had blokes that pulled the ball, like a Hobbs and Caldwell, who were able to grab it for us. So that's good that he's able to, at least make a contest, which he'll give you every day of the week. But we need him to have, clunk on to some of those just so he can arrest momentum, get a bit more control. Woody, look, on this game, he kicked that goal, which is important for us. I think he was serviceable in the ruck, did quite well. I think he definitely seemed to pull up sore at the end of the game. He just sort of stopped right near the end. So I think he's done a fair amount of work for the first half of this season. So he'll no doubt enjoy the break. So I think overall, yeah, played average game for mine, but yeah, put his hand up and went to the contest when needed to.
Yeah, Mac Welfi, he returned. He's been back for a few weeks now, which has been great. And yeah, he does a lot of chasing pressure, mate. Now he's only listed as one tackle, but I can tell you he's running hard to keep applying pressure. He kicked a goal and just had the 5 kicks, 9 handballs. So it certainly stat wise wasn't one of his better games, but yeah, his efforts and chases are always there, and that would put some pressure on the opposition.
Yeah. Look, it's a funny old game for Matt Guelphy because I think I'd say he was pretty poor in that first half. You know, pretty sloppy with the footy. Went after a few contests, but just seemed to be a step off the pace for mine. But in that second half, like, he just continued at that sort of desperate lunges and just trying to get involved, as we know he's wanting to do. And I think did make a bit of an impact. Yeah, particularly that fourth quarter. I reckon James actually had 6 score involvements in the end, 6 contested possessions. I think, while he's only listed as having the one tackle, he definitely pressured and done those 1%ers that you love from him. And went pretty hard at him in the end. So I think at the end of the day, I'd still say a pretty average game for Matt Guelphy, but we know he's another one who will never die wondering, and he'll only lift from here.
Yeah. Now the Rolls Royce. Oh, I'm sorry, Nick Martin. Yeah. that's what he's like, a Rolls Royce. But he had 30 disposals, 15 kicks, 15 handballs, 9 marks, 3 tackles, and his run and carry and use of the footy is just so good. And to think this guy was picked up after being overlooked in about 3 drafts is unbelievable, and just goes to show there is some talent out there if you can find them. And he's one of the best, and that we've really found. For all the crap that Adrian Dodoro and his team gets at time, they've found some pretty good players.
They have, mate. Nick Martin's an absolute beauty. He's just so smooth, isn't he, Jane? The way he goes through traffic just carves him up. And for mine, this was easily his best game for the club, because, didn't kick any goals, but when he did have the footy, like, he was just assured with it, showed a lot more physicality. That's both offensive and defensive. So laid the 3 tackles, but wore quite a number of tackles and was able to, get the arms up and get a handball out. There were times where he waited to the last possible moment to, draw a Carlton defender to then release a bloke going forward. So he's linking up really well with blokes like Hobbs and Caldwell and Langford, which I thought was great to see. And we saw quite a bit of his work at the Coalface, James. Had the 7 clearances, which is really good to see. Previously people had talked about him, he can go in the in the centre and the mids, and I sort of question that, thinking, he's too skinny, surely. But his smarts around the footy, Jane, just incredible for mine. Went pretty good at the with his decision making and disposal efficiency. He only had the 77% disposal efficiency. So out of your 30 disposals, I think he did pretty well. Had the 8 score involvements, a couple of intercept possessions. But to go with all of those, 12 contested possessions, I thought was really good. This bloke just shows great vision at either end of the ground. So, I thought it's a great game for Nick Martin.
Massimo D'Ambrosio, he came on as a sub 3/4 time. He only had the 1 disposal, mate, but there was no heroics needed this time. So it's hard to assess his game on the back of that. But, I think, he was the late change prior to the match. He was originally named in the 22. And as you know, the coach can make the call at an hour before the game and who's actually going to be in the 22. And he was the one who dropped out.
Yeah.
So I think he's been sub 4 weeks in a row, but there's a, you know, a good thing in that we've won all four games. So, yeah, hopefully for Massimo, you'll get a game one day, a full game. But, yeah, in the meantime, you should, you know, just have some faith that Brad keeps picking him, even if it's only a sub, because he must rate him, you know, in some areas of the game that, you know, that he has over others, because there's plenty of choices in the twos. But, you know, he must like something in Massimo that makes him keep selecting him.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, look, as you say, like the sub, so it's hard to make an impact at that stage of the game. So, yeah, not much more I can add. I wouldn't want to go one way or the other.
Fair enough. And finally, Jai Menzies, he's a bit of a workhorse up forward. You know, as you said, mate, he was found down back at times, helping out. But he had 12 disposals, 7 kicks, 5 handballs, 3 marks and 2 tackles and, more importantly, 2 goals.
Yeah, but one thing we neglected to mention, or at least I did, Jane, was that second goal he got was from that tackle on Young, which, you know, he's given up, what, 30, 40 centimetres? Oh, looks like that anyway, probably not that much, but given up quite a bit of height there. It was kind of a crazy play because, you know, Langford took a nice mark outside 50 and, sort of kicked it inside and, you know, obviously Menzies didn't lead that way. So it looked like it had gone straight to Carlton. I was thinking, oh, bloody hell, we've wasted an opportunity here. But Menzies didn't give up and he went straight at Young. It was good enough, like even though Young was able to get one hand up, he pinned the other, and so he wasn't able to get a handball out. And yeah, got the free for holding the ball and was good enough to kick it through, which I think, you know, basically epitomises Menzies' game, mine. Like, he's not, big and strong. He's not going to, you know, take a million marks or anything like that. But what he does do is, he harasses and, shows real defensive intent. And when he does get the footy, shares a bit of nous for goal. And I think as a small forward, like he's playing his role there. Kick a couple of goals, he'd always be happy with that. So I think, while he had a couple of clangers, by foot early, like he only went at 66% disposal efficiency. I thought he played quite a good role, had the 5 score involvements. And, as I said before, like to kick a couple of goals from a small forward, you'd be happy with that most weeks.
Yeah, so we are now up to our Don's Cast medal votes. And, mate, you lead us off. So who did you think were the best 5 players on the ground?
Yeah, beauty. So I'll go from the bottom, as always. So I went 1 to Caldwell, 2 to Peter Wright, 3 to Ridley, 4 to Hobbs, and 5 had to go to Nick Martin, by far and away best player on the ground for mine. How about yourself, James? How'd you read it?
Yeah, I went 5 for Martin. I thought he was, clearly the best player. I gave 4 to Caldwell. I really liked his game. As I said, he's not flashy, but he does enough with the physicality, and the link-up handballs are just fantastic to watch. So I think he's really important. I gave 3 to Peter Wright on return, kicking 5 first up, which is great. I gave 2 to Rids. I thought Ridley was really important and played a key role. And I gave 1 to Hobbs, who did a lot of work. And, apologies out there, because there's a number of players that, like Redmond and even Merritt, who played really important parts. But I couldn't fit them in over those guys. So, where are we at with the Don's Cast medal votes?
Yeah, beauty. So I'll tally them up, Jane. So from the bottom, so we've got 3 each to Durham and Phillips, 4 to Zirk Thatcher, 5 apiece to Wright and Perkins, 6 to Draper, 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Wiedemann, 9 to Heppel, 10 to Corwell, 12 apiece to Hobbs and Kelly, 18 to Scheel, 21 for Stringer, McGrath was 29, Langford 30, and our top 5, Jane, is Parrish still in number 5 at 35 votes, Ridley 39, Martin on 41, Merritt on 45, And still out in front is Mason Redmond with 48 Doncaster Medal votes.
Yeah, well, a real logjam, and that shows you the closeness within the team, the eveningness of the team. Mm. We don't rely on one. Like, you'd be more alarmed if someone was on, 70 and the next one was, like, around 30, those five key players that you said, the leading five, they've all had fantastic seasons. And, so it's really good to see, the club starting a forward march after a disastrous year last year. So, and we've got the bye next week, mate. So we'll probably have a break for next week's episode, unless I can get an interview. So I'll work at that. But all things considered, it's great to be 8-5. Until next time, go Bombers.
Go Dons.